good elbow, okay? Not a bad one. Let's say you were looking for a house, a new home. And you narrowed your home, this house, to two houses. The houses appeared to be the same. Actually, they were exactly the same. Exactly the same format, exactly the same view. They were very, very similar. But when you investigated further, you found that one of the houses was built on a foundation while the other one was built directly on top of sand. Now, I'm speaking to West Australians here, so don't be afraid. I know most of your houses are actually built on sand and a bit of clay. Which house would you buy? The one on the solid foundation, of course, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? You look stupid. Hey. In fact, I'm sure that I'll get the same answer from every single person that I ask that question. But if I were to ask the same question concerning what we're building our lives on, I don't think the answers would come so quite readily. If I were to go out on the street right now and ask, what's your life built upon? I suspect that the majority of people could not even give me an answer to that question. As a matter of fact, it's probably that some of you listening to me right now aren't really sure what you're building your life on. And I want us to look today at the story of Jesus' story about two different kinds of builders and help us to see the necessity of building on a foundation of Jesus Christ, just as that gentleman that I saw in this refugee camp, he had built his life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for Holy Spirit conviction. Amen. I'm serious about that. Holy Spirit, come now. Luke chapter 6, 46, 49 says, so why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Father? Why do you call me Lord of Lords? Why do you call me and worship me? Why do you praise me? Why do you come to church on Sundays and stand up and wave your hands around? Why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then obeys me. It is like a person who builds a house on a strong foundation laid upon the underlying rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who listens and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will crumble into a heap of ruins. See, in Jesus' audience that day, there were two different groups of people. And guess what? It's exactly the same thing in the church today. There are two different groups of people. And I want you to think about, which group do you belong to? Honestly. Because I believe that God's going to change hearts today. God's going to give revelation to some of you today. Praise God. Amen. See, one group listened to what Jesus had to say and it changed their lives. It transformed their lives. The second group listened to what Jesus had to say and went on with life as if they hadn't heard anything at all. See, the first group built their lives upon the solid foundation and the second had no solid substance to build their lives on. And I want us to start examining the second group first. You know, there are several facts that we can learn about those who have no foundation for life. And the first one is, if you've got an outline there, first one is, if I have no foundation for life, my free will, free will is the word there, my free will is not challenged. See, each of us is given the ability to choose for or against Jesus, haven't we? Okay, I want you to do something. I want you to stand, everyone, so I want everyone to stand up. No, no, just humour me, will you? Everyone stand up, come on.
No, I'm not going to do what the pastor told me to do.
Okay, what I want you to now do, I want you to now turn this way and look at that big sign over there. And on the count of three, I want you to yell out what it says. That big one. Yeah, the big one with five letters, okay? All right, one, two, three.
Jesus!
Oh, I said say, not yell it. Okay, that's good. All right, you turn around. Sit down. How many of us are following something else and looking at something else? Most of us are Christians in here, yeah? And most of us know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Saviour. But Jesus Christ is it, because that's what we sing and that's what we worship and that's what the pastors up here and people get up here and preach about, that Jesus is the only way. He is the truth and He is the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, the what? Jesus is the what? Jesus is church? What church? That's what happens. As Christians, we need to drop everything of this world. Focus on Jesus. Who of us are doing that? Who of us, I'm guilty of this too, of walking away sometimes knowing that I think I can do a better job. Or I've got a better, wiser decision. Or, he won't, doesn't matter. Very quiet. Only means one thing. To choose for Jesus is to make a radical life change that leads to discipleship. Not to choose for Jesus isn't really making much of a choice at all. The fact is that each and every one of us finds him or herself having already chosen against Jesus the moment we first committed an act of rebellion against him. So decide not to follow him, okay, means that we just stay in a state that we already find ourselves in. There is not much of a challenge here at all. If you think that you're a real action man and you love the challenge of life and you haven't chosen to follow Jesus, well, you're not really that extreme at all. You know, I look at James and Nat. Dedicate their lives to go to China. That's extreme. You know, I look at people that lay their lives down. That's extreme. I see people giving into tithes and offerings and missions that I know they can't. They're not that very wealthy, but that's extreme. I see people here on a Monday morning, on a Tuesday morning, Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, praying early hours of the morning. That's extreme. I'm not saying you have to come here to pray. But I see my wife getting up every before she gets up. She's in the Word of God. That's extreme. That's extreme living. There's not much of a challenge if you haven't chosen Jesus Christ. But it would appear to be an easy way out. And that is what happened to the person who built the house without any foundation. Why spend time digging into a rock when the sand would be so much less trouble? And we all know that, don't we? We live in WA. How hard is it to dig in tough clay and rock compared to sand? I mean, I bet you some of you men would know that you've been digging and you'd come across a bit of a rock and you go, oh, I'll just move the pole over here. You're a plumber. You probably would have diverted a few pipes around a rock. It is easy to take our own way and continue on the path we're already walking down than to stop and consider and act upon the message of Jesus Christ. The end, of course, is ruin, it's struggle, and it's ultimately death with no resurrection. But for the time being, it seems like a good idea. Now, I don't want to embarrass the person, but I'm not sure if he's here, but a young guy called Kyle who goes down to the local high school down here, he's in year 11, and he wanted to do work experience. So he said to the teacher, where do you want to do work experience? He goes, I want to do work experience at the church, Hillside Church. So for 2 weeks, he came into the inner sanctum of the church because he wanted to see what it runs like. He wanted to know what makes the church tick. He comes along to youth group. Anyway, one morning he was here early and he came in and said, oh, I just wanted to beat Tobin and Amy and everyone, and I have, and he was really happy. And I said, well, and he was sitting in the office and I walked past him, and you know, the senior pastor, you hold some authority apparently, but I walked past him and I said, Kyle, I want to speak to you in my office. And he was like, you know, he came and he sat down in my chair. And I said, I just started to speak to him. I said, so why? Why do you want to come into church for work experience? And he goes, because I don't want to follow my mates down at the high school who are drinking and smoking and carrying on. I want a better life. And I look at Tobin and I want a life like he's got. Actually, I want his job. Just thought I'd throw that in there, right? He's after you, mate. He's after you. That speaks volumes of this man here and his team. He wants to follow Christ. He wants to choose to follow and not follow the ways of the world. Shame he's not here. Second point, if I have no foundation for life, my focus is on the present. Now, have you ever wondered how these gymnasts are so good on the beam? They can do triple flips, double somersaults and everything else like that, can't they? Well, I'll tell you how they do it. They first actually practice on the floor. Then they stand, then they do it on a beam on the floor. And then they get about a half a metre high and they take it in increments. And then they can do amazing things. Their focus is on the beam. Now, if I laid a 2x4 across the floor here and I asked you all to get up, no, I'm not going to do that, get up and walk along that beam, you would do it with, you'd do it blindfolded. You would, oh, this is great. That's women walk, men walk like that across it. But if I lifted it up 2 metres high in the air, it's about this high. It's the respect I get, Dad. Nice. But if I put it 2 metres up in the air, and then I told you to all walk across, and I bet you a lot of you wouldn't. And I bet a lot of you that would be walking across it would be thinking, oh, I'm going to fall. It's because you would have a misdirected focus. Instead of just doing it on the floor, and you go, oh, that's easy, all of a sudden, it's 2 metres up, you've got a misdirected focus. You can actually do it. It's not the same board. It's just that you've got a misdirected focus. You start thinking of other things other than what you've been taught to do. You suddenly get what I'm saying here. Some of you have got to think about it. The person who builds his or her life without the foundation of Jesus also has a misdirected focus. See, this person is going to fall big time when the going gets tough. But for right now, everything seems to be going just fine. The focus of the builder was on the present, on the immediate occupation of the house, on getting everything done quickly with as little toil as possible. Now, this person had trouble looking months down the road and did not consider the inevitable collapse that would take place in the future. And the same is true for many of us. We're concerned about the here and now and do not take time to consider the there and then. See, as long as we're comfortable and the things are going our way, we're satisfied with life, aren't we? But when our lives hit a crisis point, what then? What happens? And just looking around the room, I know there's a few of you that have had some pretty big challenges in the last 24 months. Some fairly big crisis moments in your life. Where do we turn? What do we fall back on? What will bring us comfort when the world around us appears to be caving in on us? It is the mistake, of those without a foundation to place all their hope on today with no thought of what tomorrow holds. You know, our world today teaches, if it feels good, do it. Live for today as tomorrow may not come. Which is true, but the focus is on self. If you miss it, you miss out. Etc., etc. We live in such a narcissistic times, don't we? You know, the man at the refugee camp knew his future was sure. But what happens when our future is unsure? Well, the next point is this. If I have no foundation for life, my future is unsure. You're probably wondering why I've got a map with some pins in there. Well, before I became a pastor, I used to be a manager, and I had about 5 reps all going around Perth. And these pins were their area. And I had this one rep who was slack, who was one of those guys where you just know that he was going and having coffee, probably with his mates, and not bringing in any work. So one meeting, not in front of all the other reps, I excused the reps and I pulled him in. And I grabbed a pin. I said, see this area? This is your area. He goes, yep. I said, see this pin here? And I pushed it and started to move it around. And as you do, it made a bigger hole. And the pin was really weak. It could easily fall out. And I said to him, at the moment, this is how strong your position with this company is. Now, that was a tactic that we used to use back in the day. Probably wouldn't do that. It just probably come straight out and tell them, give them a warning. But that was a warning. It could easily fall out. But that's how strong his job was. And that's a very similar predicament that the person that does not build their life on Christ faces every day of their lives. They're just on a tender hook. See, when faced with questions, what will happen when you die? What will happen when you die? What will happen when you die? They really don't know what to say. In fact, out of fear, they'll avoid even thinking about such things. and they'll try and divert the conversation straight away. But it is something that needs to be thought about. It is imperative that we each know and understand and are willing to accept what our future will bring. I don't mean to be morbid, but each and every one of us in this room is going to die at one stage. Those that choose not to follow Christ today will not have Christ in the future. Some people know that they need to make a decision for Jesus. They've heard his words. They believe that they are true. And they understand the necessity of accepting him as a Lord and Saviour today. But for some reason, they just keep putting it off. The problem is there is no promise of tomorrow. You know, we could, all of a sudden, a volcano could erupt and wipe us all out. Or a big sinkhole could just appear right now and boom, we're gone. Or one of our leaders of one of the many nations could just press a button and wipe out a third of the population on planet Earth. So why risk putting such an important decision off until an unpredictable future? That is my challenge for any of you who have not chosen Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Why put it off? You know, you don't have to be a good person to accept Jesus. You don't have to have given up smoking or anything like that to accept Jesus into your heart. You know, you can't do any of that unless you've got Jesus in your heart. And then he can start working through you. It doesn't make sense, but that is exactly what this person does. And that's why the question, what will happen when you die, has to be asked. It's a great question at a party. And everyone's really happy and joyful. What will happen to you when you die? These sick Christians laughing. But it's true. I love my friends. I don't know about you. I love my family. I love the people that God's put in my way. And how dare I not ask them that? I've no foundation for life. My fate is decided. My fate is decided. You see, not choosing is making a choice. Jesus is warning. Jesus' warnings for those that hear his words but do not act upon them. He is speaking of the judgment to come when he states in Luke chapter 6 verse 49, when the floods sweep down against that house, it will crumble into a heap of ruins. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about bricks and mortar. We're talking about your life. When the floods sweep down against that house, you will crumble into a heap of ruins. Some people say they'll just ride this thing out. Take life as it comes and hope for the best. Okay, sarah, sarah, sarah. But the message of Jesus is very clear. If you don't decide for him, you are deciding against him. You have a choice of eternity or you have a choice of going to hell. That's it. I'm not mixing the words this morning. I am so passionate about this. I had to stand at a gate in that refugee camp, and I had to see 60 body bags that had just been put there for the first part of the morning. Some of those are going to heaven and some of those are going to hell. And this is how fragile life really is. We're only on this planet for a compared to eternity. But the message of Jesus is clear. If you don't decide for him, then you are deciding against him. You determine your fate for eternity by the decision you do or not make today. And the great news is that you can give today. If you're not building on the solid foundation, is that you still have time today to make that decision for Christ. And those who are listening via the internet this morning, you have a choice. Don't throw that choice away. You have a choice right now to choose for or against Jesus Christ. Up to you. Up to you. It's your choice. There is no reason to put it off any longer. What I want to share with you now should be an encouragement for those of you who are not yet Christ followers to make a decision for him. And for those of you that are already Christians, this should be a time of assurance for you concerning your relationship that you already have. For 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11 says, "For no one," okay, that means everyone here, "no one can lay any other foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ." Sorry, you didn't hear me. "No one can lay any other foundation than the one we already have, Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Oh, thank you. However, if you have made a decision to follow Jesus, then you need to have a relationship with him. So how do you do that? By reading the word, by praying, reading the word, praying, reading the word, praying. Oh, reading the word. Reading his word, reading the Bible. Now, you've heard it said before, you know, the guy that came up here a few months ago said, "Oh, I wanted to give me a prophetic word. Give me a prophetic word." He goes, "Yeah, I'll give you a prophetic word. Read the Bible." I love that. "You want to hear from God? Yeah, yeah, come here, come here. Give me, I'll give, yeah, come here, come here. You want to hear from God? Here you go. There you go." Need to have a relationship with him. With Jesus, our foundation, we're benefited in many ways. I just want to share three of them with you. Oh boy, 10:54. How are they going in the kitchen? They're going to be another 15, 20 minutes, aren't they? A little bit of it. Okay, let's get this done. So, if I have Christ as my foundation, my decision is to obey. I want you to get this in, guys. Don't get your watches and say, "I'm going to go." Okay, my response is to obey. My decision is to obey. So when I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, I'm accepting the gift of eternal life that God gives me by grace through faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, my sins are forgiven. And I find myself in a relationship with God that I didn't know before. But I'm committing myself to live in obedience to Christ. And it is living in obedience to Jesus Christ that proves that I'm building my life on a solid foundation. How solid are those letters? How solid is that Jesus over there? That's the Jesus I'm following. I'm not just claiming to be a Christian. I am living like a Christian. Luke 6:47-48 says, "And I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then what? And then obeys me. It is like a person who builds a house on a strong foundation laid upon an underlying rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. It is well with my soul. My decision is grounded in both acceptance of what Christ offers me and in a commitment to give my life over to his control. I see so many Christian families struggling because they are caught in between two worlds. And I know how hard that is because I've lived a life like that. Yes, I used to go to church, oh praise God, and then I used to go out into the world. And you know what the stupid thing about it is that people can see you. The people in the world can see you and say, oh, he's meant to be a Christian, but look what he's doing. And the people in the church can see what you're doing. Oh my goodness, he was doing that yesterday, now he's in here. My direction is clear. So the word is, my direction is clear. Most people are travelling through life without any roadmap whatsoever. They do not understand their purpose, and so they find themselves going through the same motions over and over and over and over again, but never really getting anywhere. And the person that has Christ as the foundation for his or her life knows exactly where they are headed. This person is working toward becoming more and more like Jesus. Romans 8:28, which is a very, and 29. A lot of you people know this. A lot of people, you struggle with this in times of hardship. It says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Oh, sorry, to his purpose for them. Underline that, his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and underline this part, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn with many other brothers and sisters. So underline his purpose for them, his purpose for you, you and I, and he chooses us to become like his son Jesus. Now how can we become his son like Jesus? By getting into the Word. Thank you. One of you is agreeing with me. So when I dedicate my life to Christ, I commit myself to obedience, as though I live a life of obedience, I become more and more like Christ. You know, my wife, actually my dad, and a few of you can testify that my life has been transformed. The person that I was is not the person who I am now. And I can only say, yeah, praise God, all right. Praise God. Because I probably wouldn't be alive if I continued down the line that I was travelling. But my life has been transformed. Yes, it's taken time. It takes time. And you know what? It's still happening in my life. You ask my wife. We were just having a discussion the other night. She goes, you know what? The other day when you got up and preached some time ago, she goes, I felt so sick in the gut I could have just got up and walked out, is what you said. And I said something that was, I was teaching, well, saying to the men, you must do this, and you must pray for your wives, and must do that, you know, because God just put it in me to say to them. But that week, I hadn't done that. I'm being honest. I hadn't done that. And Sally's going, you dirty, rotten, stinking. That's what she was thinking. I would never say those words, but yeah. Pray for her, but anyway. So when I dedicated my life. So no matter what happens in my life, my direction remains the same. Whether it be feast or famine, whether it be good times or bad, joy or sadness, my purpose always remains the same. You know, we all go through real hard times because we live in this world. How solid is your faith? See, with Christ as our foundation, we're able to experience the stability of life that is unavailable to the person building their life on the sand. Next one is, my destiny is secure. Who's done this? Men? Who's done this? Who's grabbed your kid and gone swimming with them? You know the Bible says, do not exasperate your children? You know what I'm talking about. You know, and the thing I still remember about my dad holding me in the swimming pool and blowing bubbles going, bum, bum, bum. You remember that? You did, don't you? Yeah. And so when I had children, I used to do the same thing. And I used to grab them and I used to go, deeper, deeper, deeper. And as you go deeper and down, they'd crawl over your head, wouldn't they, and squeeze tight and not let go. And they'd just be exasperating them. That's exasperating. Do not exasperate your kids, but it's so much fun. So I used to do that. I used to blow bubbles and go deeper, deeper, deeper. My child's face registered the increasing degree of panic. And as they held on more tightly to me, you know, I was going deeper and deeper in the pool. Okay, it might not have been the deepest part of the pool, okay? But I could still touch the bottom of the ground. But had they been able to analyse their situation, they would have realised that there was no real need for increased anxiety, because the water depths at any part of the pool was over their head. If I'd gone into the shallow end and just gone, thump, they would have sunk to the bottom, just the same as I would in the deep end. And they were I was holding them. But their assurance was on their father. Their assurance that they knew that if they clung on to Dad, they were safe. They let go of Dad, then there'd be a problem. Their safety anywhere in the pool depended upon me. See, at very points of our lives, all of us feel like we're getting out of our depth. Problems abound, a job is lost, someone dies, a marriage breaks down, and our temptation is to panic and stress out, get anxious or depressed because we feel that we've lost control. Yet just like the child in the pool, the truth is that we've never been in control over the most valuable things of our life. We've always been held up by grace of God, our Father, that doesn't change. So I'll say that again. We've always been held up by the grace of God, our Father, that doesn't change.
Amen.
We've always been held up by the grace of God, our Father, that does not change.
Amen.
Come on. We are resting on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, and we are secure in that relationship no matter what might come our way. In our story, the storms and floodwaters came to both of these houses. Neither the smart or the foolish builder was spared from the onslaught. But only one of the houses was able to withstand it. The person who does not have Christ crumbles in times of crisis, while the person who knows Christ as Lord is able not only to survive, but in the end, triumph because of his or their salvation is so secure. And no one can take that away from us. I believe the man in the refugee camp saw this next passage in Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. It says, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Death can't. And life can't. Angels can't, the demons can't, the fears of today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our destiny is secure in Christ Jesus. We have the promise of eternity. Amen?
Amen?
I want to be like the man in the refugee camp.
Amen.
Man, I want to be like him. Am I there yet? I don't think I am. I don't think I could actually hold one of my children that are dying and I've just after lost my wife. Praise and worship. But I want to get to that spot. I want to get to that place. And the more I read the word, the more I build on my relationship with God, the more confident, the more trusting I am with God, the more confident I am in walking my life out as a Christian. You know, my life as a pastor would be so much easier if everyone just got this. Some of you may not know, but as a pastor, I've got a bucket. Right? I've got a bucket. And because I'm the pastor, people come to me and fill up my bucket. And usually as a pastor, I get to hear all the horror stories of families, what they're going through. Oh, marriage breakdown, relationship breakdown, lost my job, I've got a problem, I've got an addiction. You know what? There's no holes at the bottom of that bucket. Where's your faith? Where's your confidence? Who have you got confidence in? The world or Jesus Christ? Some of you may say, oh yeah, Kerry, you don't understand. You haven't gone through what we've gone through. I can tell you right now, I have gone through. I've gone through some pretty horrible stuff. And some people said, gee, how can you just keep going with life and what you've experienced? I said, because I trust in Jesus Christ. I trust in Jesus Christ for me. I trust in Jesus Christ for my family. And I trust Jesus Christ for each and every one of you. That's why I'm able to do what I do. And that's why you are able to do what you do if you are a Christ follower of Jesus. I can smell that smell. Do you remember the old hymn on Christ, the solid rock I stand, and all our ground, all other ground is sinking sand? That song is based on the text we've been looking at today. It's a statement that can be made by all who choose to place their trust in the only secure foundation available, and that is Jesus Christ. Would you like to leave here today knowing your purpose for life and possessing a future for Christ for all eternity? No? Okay. Would you? Do you? Now you can have that more and more if you just place your trust in Him. Like Stacey said this morning, the veil has been torn. For us to enter in. I'm now going to give you an opportunity to say this prayer. This is Billy Graham's prayer. Next slide. I want us all to read this out. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, please, now is the time to do it. It's your choice. You can, you don't have to, but what you've heard today is the Word of God. What you've heard today is the truth. If you've been going through life and struggling through life, there's no need to. Why don't you read it with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen. We have a choice. You can follow or not follow. Up to you. Yeah. And the worship team up. Something happened to me in Africa. When I met that man, it was as though God asked me that question. Have you decided to follow me? And I had to really ask that question deep down in my soul. Have I really decided to follow Jesus? It was a Kairos moment for me. Some of you are probably thinking, oh my goodness, it's terrible as a pastor. I'm being honest with you, as I always am. No turning back. I thought of myself, some of the times that I've been through and some of the difficulties, there are times when I've been focused on Jesus, but there are times when life has just been that hard that I've actually turned. I just thank God for the Holy Spirit that slaps me up the side of the head and redirects me back into this here. Because you know what? I can't do life without Jesus. I don't know how people can do life without Jesus Christ. I don't know how people can do life without the Holy Spirit, without God. I do not know how they can do it. I go to many churches and meet a lot of different Christian people, and their confidence in life just is amazing. And then when I go into the world, I just see people with despair. People are just lost, and people are, oh my goodness, you know, life's good for a moment. It's like a gambler. You know, you always hear about the winnings of a gambler, but you never hear about the losses. But man, you hear of the losses all the time in this world. But when life is good, you know, hey, I've got no worries. But when something happens, they've got nothing to stand on. And it's so hard. I get people coming in from the community all the time. Oh my goodness, this has happened to my son. Oh, this has happened to our family. Oh, this has happened. They're not Christians. Their lives are just absolutely in turmoil. And I don't go, oh, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. I've got to direct them towards Jesus. But it's so sad. If I could pluck that gentleman out of where that was and bring him here to you and to this community, man, I know he could just turn heads towards Jesus just like that. And he already has through that story. So let's stand, let's sing. If you want prayer, I believe what I've experienced was very dramatic for me, was life-changing for me. And if I can impart something onto you, I will do that this morning. Because I know that we all struggle. We all, yes, Jesus, 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 Jesus. We all struggle in that area. But I want to pray for people this morning. I want to lay hands on people this morning that are struggling in that area. So I know what it's like. I've been there. Some of you are going through real difficult times at the moment in your lives, and I appreciate that. I acknowledge that. I empathize with that.